Y'all came here to give it up. So come on and show me what you got. It's about to be on, baby, nonstop. That you're gonna get your time to shine. Nobody but stars in there tonight. Dancing underneath the party light. When I see you working that body right. Tonight you're gonna get your time to shine. I've been waiting, now I'm ready for the main event. All the ladies and the players in here dressed to kill. Choose a winner who has flavor, looking on full stop. Only the best can pass the test. Let me check you out. In the midst of a fierce competition, get a view from a better position. Look, cause now you got my attention. Maybe you're my superstar. Keep showing me moves that are blazing, cause you're teasing my imagination. I believe I can fight temptation. I don't know where y'all came here to give it up. It's gonna show me what you got. You got to be your baby nonstop. Tonight you're gonna get your time to shine. Hi guys, I have no voice again.
So just give me 1 second. I'm looking for a mint. Some mint. Something to soothe that succulent dulcet tones. Mama. Why are you singing like you sang on the first Dua Lipa album with that husky man voice?
Look. Here's the deal. Oh, quick apologies for last week, guys. Gotta let you know what happened. Basically, there was no show because we went to record and had every single technical issue.
Every single one. Have. Which never happens.
Usually there's one.
And we're working out.
We're making do. But we had, my mic didn't work. The recording software we used decided she was done for the day. We couldn't get on the edit stuff. We couldn't do local recordings on it. It was awful. So we just looked at each other. We're like, we'll be back next week. But we're back. But in between the technical issues and now, I had like one of the worst colds I've ever had in my life. I don't know what's happened. I had to leave the office early because I was sat in the corner sneezing my heart out. And I was like, oh, why am I even in the office for this one? So we had to let that go. But now I have sort of no voice and I can barely breathe. But I'm here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And none of you are paying me to be here. I don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I like it. So don't be coming at me with no guff. I don't want any guff this week, girls.
I'm just gonna have my multivitamin real quick. My chewables, because, you know, I can't have anything big in my mouth these days because I have a small throat.
Oh, she's got a tiny, tiny, delicate little throat.
Oh, my God. Once again, sorry, she talked today about throat goats in a minute.
I think we can go straight there. But before we do, hi guys, you listen to Loud Brown Gaze. I'm your host, Dan James, Dan James LDN on Instagram. Joined as always by the wonderful Nick Charles. That's It's Nick Charles on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us there. You can follow the account at Loud Brown Gaze. If you are listening, if you enjoy the episode, please just give us 5 stars. It helps other people find it. And we can keep the community growing. Now, Nick, goat.
Have you seen the girlies clutching their pearls because of the new report that's been linked online about throat cancer girls? Mm-hmm. The girlies are pissed and angry, and they should. But honey, if this is how I have to die, if this is how I go out on the field, sucking a penis, so be it, girls.
Also, that headline was so misleading. Because the article was just like, if you contract HPV, you are like a few minimal percentage more likely to potentially have throat cancer in the future. It wasn't saying if you were going to give a little slobber knocker, you are immediately like, we're growing and you gone.
She died.
So I'm like, don't be coming out here saying y'all can't suck a little dick or get down on some pum pum just because you think that's going to give you throat cancer. Absolutely not. Do you know what will be giving you throat cancer? Smoking. You want to not die from throat cancer? Stop having cigarettes. You'll be fine.
True. But the girlies were feral on Twitter. They was like, well, if I have to go down dying, I'm having eight in a day. And I was like,
look, what I said, life is for living, not avoiding death.
Correct.
And if you're telling me that if I am deciding that I'm going to go down and I'm going down.
Honey, I do not mind losing my life, so I can bit of dick. But what was interesting
Wait. This is, I've worked it out. I'm going down. You go.
I'm going down.
Now bring your dick around, baby.
Because I'm going down in the ground sucking dick.
Thank you, Alicia Keys.
Correct. The girlies also, oh, the girlies were not happy. And I was like, too right. But honestly, girlies, you don't need to worry about that. Listen, just keep what you're doing. Have a good time and keep it safe. Keep it moving.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to get to the episode this week. And I had a little thought the other day. And it was because, Nick, have you ever heard of the TV show Shrill?
Yes, I have.
So for those of you that don't know, Shrill is an American show that is fronted by, what's her name? The girl from SNL. Is it Aidy Bryan?
Mm. Yeah.
That's her name. So she's a fat girl. She calls herself that. And she, I've never seen Shrill, but I was going through TikTok and there was a scene where they're at a pool party and they are like, they're dancing and she stood there and she feels uncomfortable. Now, everyone who's dancing is a fat girl. Absolutely everybody who's dancing. It's like a pool party for fat girls. And she's so uncomfortable because they try and make her dance. She like dances away. And then she starts dancing and she kind of like her spirit lifts and you just see her enjoy herself and like let loose. And
not let loose.
She loosely Ladukas. I know. But it's like such a moment. And then there was someone in the comments who wrote, like, just imagine all of the times where we've robbed ourselves of this because we feel uncomfortable in our own bodies. And I was like, I was watching it and I was literally just like, this is an experience for fat women and they made it like that. But then I was like, there's so much that you could take from that and like put it in for like gay culture in that how many times are there that particularly for like fat gays and like gays who don't fit a certain beauty standard have like the gay community just made them feel like they're not accepted and they can't just dance and enjoy themselves and have a great time and live their truth and live their life and just like bop around to the Ariana Grande like the girls were doing.
Exactly. So
that then got me thinking, I really like being gay. Like I love it. It's who I am. It's I like being part of the community and everything, but that doesn't mean it's perfect.
No, and
I wanted to spend some time on the show just talking about the parts of gay community at large that I find less than pleasing or that I struggle with or make, like I'm aware can make people feel uncomfortable and rough. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, let's have a little discussion today.
Mm.
We'll keep it funny. Obviously there'll be some jokes and some stories. But yeah, let's have a little discussion about what's tough about being gay in this world. So that, you know, we can all share in this one. And like, if you're listening, we'd love it if you could like go on the Instagram and just leave a comment or something, get part of the conversation. Let us know like what part about the gay community you're like, I don't really like this bit. This bit stresses me out.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick, I'm going to let you go first.
Me?
Yeah.
What do I dislike about being gay? What I find tough?
Yeah.
I think in recent times we've tend to see a communication pandemic. I think that's been very rough recently. I think communication pandemic, I feel like in recent times, a lot of people tend to have like, they've lost the key and the magic of how to communicate with people, how to act, how to treat people. For example, now this goes back to a situation that I'm going to use you as an example. That guy that walked up to you in the club, I was trying to like talk to you and thought that he had a right to talk to you. And be racist about it and be loud and proud.
Oh, yeah, that girl, wow.
So, you know what I mean? That itself is a communication process. You think to yourself, how did we get to this part of life where people now think they have the right to, you know, approach us in that way and, you know, neglect us as human beings? And it's so selfish, it's so rude. And it's something I find tough because I feel like sometimes for you to convey those feelings of trying to tell someone to fuck off, your process and seen as the angry black girl, that really stresses me out. I find that really hard because I should be able to tell a motherfucker, fuck you, ho, without having to be like, oh, well, she's aggressive. Ooh,
oh, absolutely.
She's angry. Ooh, that is a massive communication short haul. And I feel like our community has fallen so far in the wayside when it comes to that. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is perfect. It's like, you remember Drag Race, was it season 10? And the Vixen and Eureka, right?
Oof,
and
that. Mm.
And at the reunion, the vixen was 100% correct, is that everybody was coming at her for how she reacted to something, but no one was coming at Eureka for how she acted that caused that reaction. And it's like, there is so much. I think I like your point about the communication thing, but I think we just take it wider to like just general, like the kind of the racist issues, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And like, yes, there are some people who walk through this community and they just think they can say whatever to you.
Yeah.
Because you have you're a certain skin color and they're going to come up to you and they're like, they've got all these preconceived notions. And it's mental to me.
Yeah.
It's actually mental to me that you would like, in 2023, you are bold enough to do that.
Yeah.
You are, and I like, I can't really speak for like the lesbian community or the trans community on this one because I don't really know. But when it comes down to gay men, particularly white gay men, we are always running that risk of like, I'm just there dancing, enjoying myself.
Having a good time with the money I paid to get in here.
Exactly. I bought my drink. What do you mean? Come over and make it worse for me.
We're not doing this. So, I think we really are falling on the wayside when it comes to stuff like that. And it's sad because, like, we're just trying to get on with life. This life. Have you seen the government, honey? Where are they in a mess? Let's just stop. So yeah. I think that needs to be worked on massively. It's something I really despise.
Here's the thing for what they don't seem to understand is the impact of them doing that. Because I think there's two knock-on things, right?
Yeah.
The first one is that anytime we have an interaction with somebody who looks like the type of person who is going to potentially, like, give us that experience, we have to be like, oh, my God. Gays of color, we learn how to brace ourselves.
We even get to an event. We just have to have that in mind.
Yeah. We fully have to learn how to brace ourselves. And if we're going to go out and we're going to go somewhere new, we have to work out. Like, I don't know if all of you do this, but I do this. If I'm going to an event I've not been to before, I'm on the Instagram going through the gallery and I'm seeing who's been there.
Correct.
Because I'm like,
I'm checking the packed photos.
I was like, I better see some brown girls, because if I don't see them and I'm like, I'm walking into this one, it's going to be a mess for me.
Yeah.
And it's not even like nothing might happen, but like if you're a white gay, you get the privilege of just hanging like, oh, what do I need to wear? That's it. Like, what do I need to wear? Is there going to be someone cute there? That's what your privilege is in that scenario. Whereas we are like, what do I need to wear? Is there going to be somebody cute there? At some point, is somebody going to come up to me and be racist or look at me funny?
Oh my God, I love your hair. No.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love your hair. Oh my God. No. Oh, you seem quite rude and aggressive. Girl, I've just been dancing. Leave me alone. I was just like, It's an extra level of prep and stress that I don't think a lot of people are aware that we are internally doing.
Yeah.
And we'll do it constantly, like consistently and constantly. And there are some times and in some venues where that is more likely to happen to you. And you have to explain to your white gay friends why you are less like willing to go to that place. And I remember XXL in London was that for me.
Ooh, girl.
XXL when it was open.
We never had a good time there, did we?
No. The thing about XXL was that because they had their stupid door policy of like, you had to dress masculine and you couldn't wear makeup or heels or whatever, they were already making themselves out to be like, we are an exclusive thing. Like, we want a very particular type of person to be here, which they didn't flat out say they wanted white boys. But what that does is it gets the people who are more likely to be like, I just want to be around white boys, to turn up and be bold, because they're like, oh, we're already excluding the femme girls.
Yeah.
I can exclude you from this one. And then for some reason, they make it aware to me. Yeah. It's like they take a little joy in coming over to your ruining part of your night. It's like, fuck off, please.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's mad? You should sit up, because I remember this one time I've been to XXL just one time back in the day, and I feel like there's a thing about XXL where I couldn't remember what song I literally heard when I was at XXL. But not only that, secondly, I feel like when you're a black or a coloured gay or queer person in that space, you are more at risk of being attacked racially than ever. I'm gonna tell you why. Because there's when XXL was here, there was like a weird wave of certain type of black gays that went there. There was the The Clone Zone girls, who was like, you know, the poster boy for every single Clone Zone app. You know who I'm talking about? The twins. They were everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah,
you had the porn stars. Then you had the big, muscly black gays.
Yeah.
But if you didn't fit that, if you didn't fit any of those on the lineup, people like, so do you go to the gym? Or do you take steroids? No, I'm just here having a good time.
Yeah. Oh, this leads me so perfectly into the first point that I had on mine, which is the thing that stresses me out about being gay is the body standards that we as a community have plucked out of nowhere. Now, I don't want to be like, let me be a bit nuanced with this one. So if you say like, oh, the gay beauty standard, most people will think white, muscular, pretty much always naked, right? Mm. They're going to be thinking that one.
The circuit girlies. Yeah.
That is true to an extent. But then also, like, you know how we like to, like, subcategorize ourselves into groups?
Yeah.
Which I don't really have too much of a problem with. But then in each of those groups, there is a body standard you're expected to hit to be seen as, like, top tier in that kind of situation. So it's not just, like, white and muscular, but then also, like, there's, like, body standards for twinks and body standards for bears, body standards for this and body standards for that. And I was like, I took this step back the other week because I am such a fucking victim of this one. Like, you know how much I go to the gym.
Yeah.
And like how much I work out and everything. And like, yeah, it makes me feel good. Yeah, yeah. But
you do it for you though.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I don't.
You do it for you.
No, I do not.
We know.
Don't try and give me like I'm doing this for like a wholesome health
out for me. No, I don't.
No, I do. I really don't. Honestly, if none of the rest of you did it, I wouldn't be doing it. Absolutely would. I would be at home eating Doritos, watching cartoons. That is what my spirit wants to do. But instead, I'm up in the gym working on my fitness. Why? I look better when my shirt is off in the club.
Yeah.
Or so I feel better when the shirt is off in the club. But why should I have to feel better? Why can't I just feel good because it's who I am? And the reason is we internalize those pressures from like externally, and we're all doing it, but we can't even have like a realistic viewpoint of like what that is, because there is something when we talk to straight people about how we need to look, they think we are all insane. Because straight guys who go to the gym and hit that out, yeah, you got your people from Essex and your people from Newcastle, like part of their thing and whatever. But most generally people were like, oh, well, you're like, you look fine, you look great. And I'm like, do I look gay great?
Yeah.
Do I look gay great? My body does not have a propensity to be defined at all. My body is like, we need big arms, we need big tits, you can have huge thighs. That's what we go for. And also you can have a little belly with it. And so I'm there. I should feel pretty happy with myself and my body. Even if I didn't work out, I should. But do I? Or am I like, why have I still got these some love handles? Why am I looking at surgery options for love handles? It's deranged. As a culture and as a society, it's absolutely deranged.
Do you know what that reminds me? I mean, that one episode of Family Guy when she goes, I'm straight in, but gay fat. Exactly that.
Greg from American Dad knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because girl ate a cookie once. It's madness.
And Francine like, just stood there like, what the fuck are you on about?
Yeah, just like, girl, shut up. You look amazing. And I'm like, yeah, but no, you don't understand the level of expectation that I'm putting on myself and some people put on me. Because it's literally nuts. I'm now just going to have to come out and say to everybody, by the way, if you are looking at gays and you're like, they've got an amazing body, they are shredded, they're out and climb everything, just know 99% of the time, they are taking something.
Correct.
If you are not taking something, and that's not even just steroids, sometimes like they will party so hard at the weekend, they're not eating anything Friday to Sunday. That is shredding them down because their body is like, use the reserves, girl. Use the reserves. If you are maintaining a healthy lifestyle that is unrelated to the size or shape of your body, I don't care about like you looking like you're healthy because we ain't know anybody's business. If you are moving your body, if you are eating food that makes you feel good and supports you, you do that is that is now the limit on expectations I'm going to have on anybody mm-hmm. for this, because it is so incredibly unfair to put, like, you have to look this way
yeah.
onto anyone. And then that spoils over into just, like we said, with the shrill thing, we just, not even consciously sometimes, but just making people so uncomfortable with being in environments that they would love mm-hmm. and adore and have a great time, because they don't feel like they look like they should be there.
Yeah.
And there is a flip side to this, where you have people who like do fit the body standard, who actually, if you spoke to them, are lovely, non-judgmental, yeah. adorable people who will make you feel welcome. But because people have this like carried on baggage, and they see that person and you're like, oh, you're the reason why I feel uncomfortable, they're never going to talk, make that connection.
Yeah.
And they're never like that. You're missing out on like friendships and fun times, and we're all doing it
mm-hmm.
because we've decided as a community, people have to look a certain way. And if yeah. you don't look a certain way, you're going to feel uncomfortable about it. And you're thinking, and if you do look that way, number one, you are going to be insecure every single day of your life. Trust me, I know these people. Mm-hmm. I am partly one of them. Nobody is happy with their body. Nobody, right. Everyone's looking at the next thing they need to change and get sorted. We're all sitting there beating each other, ourselves up and each other up. Mm-hmm. It's stressing me out. I can't handle it.
Very that. Which takes me to my second point. The unrealistic love romance that they tend to give gay people in TV shows and films.
Talk your shit. Oh my God, this.
Can we stop? Can we
this? Stop?
Can we stop?
And you know Heartstopper season 2 is coming, and the girls are going to be livid. They're going to be, oh, I'm going to have blocks of people.
And this is not me being just deep in my bag about it. It's just like, more and more, I watch a lot of TV recently, just because, you know, it's how I unwind. And I see a lot of gay characters and queer characters in these films, in these movies, and I'm like, this is so unrealistic. Like, baby, I have never seen a man come back to my door and be like, oh my God, I still love you. Girl, the Deliveroo guy comes faster to my door than some man coming back to my door saying he loves
me. Exactly. All you need to do, girls. Any screenwriter who's including a gay couple, I need you to just search back of the bus and go listen to some of them questions. That's gay dating. That is what we're dealing with.
Correct.
The rom-com attempts are cute, and like gays should get cute rom-coms as well.
Yeah.
But y'all, these fucking perfect relationships.
No. No.
Be for real. Can we be fucking for real?
It's like, you see the girls, we see the couple, they woke up in the morning, big stretch. Oh, cuddle me. Girl, that hardly happens in real life.
And when it does, the gays yeah. hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where I know that you're not doing this to represent us, because no. we're salty and angry. Like, exactly. What are you doing?
Like, when I see this, I'm seeing this couple waking up on these Egyptian linen with the blinds opening up into a nice scenic route of a city, big stretch and a big white. No, baby, nobody eats breakfast in the morning until about midday.
We're not allowed to, because everyone's intermittent fasting.
Exactly.
Stupid body standards.
We're eating overnight oats with oat milk coffee at midday. What are we doing?
Like, exactly. Yeah. And then there are some times where you see these relationships that do pan out in like real life or like social media.
Yeah.
And this is unfair, because they're just living their life and loving each other, and I'm sat there like steaming. Like, oh, well, maybe I'll just go sleep on the train tracks. Maybe that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And I'm naming a name. Because you know how I say to you, like, if you're going to say it, say it. Right. Ben Hunt and your beautiful white boy boyfriend and your perfect fairy tale life. I can't engage with it.
No.
I'm looking at it like, how? How have you done this?
I feel that. Yeah, and which goes back to, I went calling, but there's a certain couple that moved up from London, who lives in Manchester, lives in like a nice little penthouse in Manchester.
Name the damn name.
No, I can't.
I said mine. You want to say yours?
They call, oh my God. No, I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, then we gotta move on. If you ain't got name, you don't know who you're talking about.
It's, no, because I don't want I don't want people to know what they're on the side of. So I'll just break it down. Basically, they're very much picture perfect package relationship on Instagram, social media. But the other day, I stumble upon their alt Twitter. And I was like, ooh! Because the what you gave me on the social side, it's very IKEA home. We have a lovely time. But yeah. When I see
it's the, curated.
Yeah,
it's
but, curated. But when I saw the alt Twitter, where you're railing in public, in a mirror, in Primark, I was like, ooh!
Well, this
is what we want to see.
Yeah, it's like, we don't have to go from one to the other, right? But just don't pretend you're like some wholesome Christian heterosexual couple when I know very well that at the weekends, you be hosting some boys over and you be slutting out that man. Exactly. I know that's happening just because you don't want the Daily Mail saying it.
I've seen the footage.
You both might be a little bit famous.
Oh,
don't be acting like it ain't true.
That part.
Because we know it. This is why it's like representation for gay couples is for the consumption of straight girls. It is not for gay men, and if it is for gay men, I don't know the gay men who are enjoying it. Because why are you showing us like we're perfect?
Yeah.
Can
you name one TV show or a film you watched recently where you think, right, this represented because this is very chaotic? I could kind of think of one.
No.
No.
You go. What was yours?
No. There's none.
What was yours?
I was gonna say a little bit of Looking, but I don't know if you ever saw Looking.
No, I didn't look Looking. But Looking was written by gay people.
Yes.
So it kind of had a bit more of it. But then, so here's an example of it done wrongly. Did you watch The Eternals?
Oh, awful. Awful.
So The Eternals was really boring. Just super boring.
Marvel fans, we could say this.
Yeah, it was boring. It was dull. But was his name like Phoebos? The guy who can, like, the
Phaistos,
tech guy.
Phaistos,
yeah, right. Yeah. That relationship that they put that man in, where he had that fine-ass husband, and they were raising that baby, and they loved each other, that was incredibly cute. But I was like, if you are going to do gay representation and everything's amazing and great and we all got babies and we're raising it, I need to see chaotic gay. He's 39. He's still dancing in the club. He has decided he does not want to ever be in a relationship with anybody ever again. Give me both. Because if all we're getting is this, you're just lying to everybody.
Exactly.
It's just a lie. It's not true.
And then the man was like, if you have to go, please do. Oh, who doing that? Who's saying that? In this lifetime?
Not me.
Not me.
Not I.
You're not
certainly
going.
Certainly not I.
And there are two things. You either leave and you come back and you want, you know, but you don't leave at all. Like, choose one.
Okay. Well, so I'm glad we're doing this. I like that our topics are kind of rolling into each other. This one, I genuinely think we are going to have to devote a whole episode to one day.
Ooh, come on.
But let's just do a quick dip into the experience of dating as a gay man.
Oof.
As a gay man, I don't know. I'm now starting to think that actually this is what dating is like for everybody, except that we just like, we knock straight girls down so much growing up that their standards are so low that they will just accept so much bullshit from straight men that's why they're all together. Because dating as a gay seems to go one of two ways, right? You seem to either meet this impossibly perfect human being, and then you have an amazing life together where you will like build a joint Instagram and you buy a house and you live your life. Ben Hunt and his adorable boyfriend. Okay. That. Or you go through reams and reams of emotionally unavailable, socially chaotic boys who tell you that what they want is a relationship, but what they actually want is not that. They don't want a relationship at all. And they are just like, you have to do this consistently and constantly.
I'm getting lubricated for this.
Until your resistances are worn down so much that you're just like, you, come and stay here. I don't know. I like, I see people in relationships, like my housemate, lovely relationship, great boyfriend, beautiful. Yeah. And I'm just like, maybe I'm the problem, because how the hell have you done this? And I'm like, I knew back in the day when I was like 23, 24, I was the problem.
Yeah.
I was absolutely the problem. Yeah. But now I'm a whole 30. I'm like, I seem to have been able to become somewhat emotionally available and like ready to go and whatever.
Yeah.
If you put the concept of dating someone in front of me right now, I'm going to be like, I don't want to hurt myself like that.
No. I would have cut my own hand off.
Exactly. I'm just like,
yeah.
I right now, put this in a like, date somebody, like actively try and date somebody, like go on Hinge. No, I'm not doing it. Make a Tinder account. You get fucked.
No.
Go out for drinks with somebody who you don't know. No. The only way I will do it is if we have already met and the vibe is right and we are enjoying each other's company and we just kind of keep doing it that way. Perfectly fine. Lovely, organic. We'll totally do it. I'm absolutely down. But if you try and make me actually like look for a date, y'all can get out of my house. Mm-mm. How dare you? We ain't friends anymore. Don't even suggest it to me, because you don't know what dating gays is like. True. Girl, I have been in the trenches and it is rough out here.
Do you know what? Funny you say that. I am. I don't know if you've realized, but I have completely given up on dating. Like, I think it's been a year since I've been single. And honestly, I have gone from like, I used to be very much like, oh, I really want a relationship, whatever. But I think I had some lessons that had to be learned and had to disassociate my trauma for what I actually want and realize, you know what, I don't deserve this. Because let me tell you something. Dating now is like literally lying down and not lying, waiting for a fucking train to King's Cross to run me over.
Girl.
It's not it.
It's something about the grass is always greener or something. No one can handle thinking, dating someone and then being in a club and being like, oh, that guy's really cute. He might be better. Oh, this one's thinking. What if I need to be alone? Therapy for everyone, please.
Right now. Right this second.
Government. To be honest, growing up as gay in this UK, specifically if you grew up gay in the 90s, you 2000 babies don't know about this. Mm-hmm. You don't know what gay in the 90s was like. Those people were, everything on TV was homophobic.
Oh, God.
All the jokes people were making were homophobic. Mm-hmm. Y'all, a taste of fruity at school, it's over for you, girl.
Oh, it's over.
The 90s was rough, and then you roll that into the early 2000s. Oh, rough time.
Yeah.
Government provided therapy for the gays. Because if that's what you want, if that's your agenda, you want us out here making healthy relationships and raising babies and being like, look how great a country we are for the gays. Y'all gotta help us.
But also,
like, you throw me out there to these sharks to rip up my soul.
But also, with that being said, can you see yourself with a perfectly aligned man who wakes every morning, drinks goat milk, use the Peloton, get ready for work? Can you see that happening? Because I can't. It's too good.
I did to make it serious for just a moment, I did actually say the other day to a friend, I was like, if for those of you who don't know, I've just very recently broken up with somebody. And I was like, I'm
the girls now. The girls pay attention to you.
And not to shade my recent ex, because he is lovely, but don't trust the sweet ones. That's all I'm gonna say. But what I'm basically had to say was like, I just have to hit a point where I'm comfortable with the idea that maybe it's just not for me. Maybe it's not written in the stars for me, and like I will go through my life and just there won't be that person that like everyone's like, oh, when are you gonna meet somebody, when are you gonna do the thing? And it's like, I'm here, I'm around, maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. But you got to be comfortable with the idea that it might not happen for you. And that's not a failing. You haven't failed at life because you can't live with one other person.
100%. Because it's funny you say that, because I used to be so like inclined about relationship and stuff, and I feel like the last year being single has like made me realize that it's so okay to be single. Yes, there are moments where you will feel a bit lonely. That will things that happen, but baby, there's always ways and means to get yourself unlonely.
Exactly.
We know.
Exactly.
And
having good friends.
Yeah. Get comfortable. Get comfortable being single, because you save money. Well, sometimes. Oh, you probably spend more. It depends.
I mean, you absolutely do. That bank account is in recovery. So we've gone a little longer than we normally do, but I think it was just nice to have a little conversation.
I think what we can say is
like, yeah, we were talking about things that stress us out and everything, but I think ultimately it's just like, as gay men, and as specifically for gay men, because I think, I don't know how the rest of the LGBT qua community deals with this one, but it's like, I think it's just sometimes like, it would be nicer if we were nicer to ourselves and nicer to each other.
Mm.
Because we have the capacity to make people feel amazing and to be incredibly happy and have a great life, or we have the capacity to make people or ourselves feel excluded and small and not worthy. And if politics is anything to go by, they coming for us, girl.
Mm.
They started with the trans, but they're never going to stop there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we might as well get to a point where, you know what, we just genuinely love each other. And I'm not saying, like, that's, like, one-to-one, you have to have, everyone got to have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, truly, if you see somebody and you know, oh, you are part of the community, let me try my best to love you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that goes for, like, everybody. And by loving someone, I mean, like, sort out your racism if it's there.
Mm.
Sort out your fat phobia if it's there. Mm. Make people feel comfortable in spaces, even if you're like, even if you don't want to fuck them. Mm. You ain't gonna have to fuck everybody you come by. You ain't gonna need to want to fuck everybody in the room.
Mm.
So, you know, life is, we only get to do this once, right?
Correct.
As far as we're aware. Correct. Only get to do this once. So, you know, make it better for people, not worse.
Mm-hmm. Come on, girl. Tell the kiddies.
And the sermon is over. You want to take us out?
Oh, yes. Oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. When Jesus walked, you can find the law of brown gays on every fucking site you listen to your podcast. This has been Nick Charles and the spectacle, the curly-haired Farron, the feral girl, the feel-it figurine, Dan James.
Oh, I like the term feral girl.
Right?
Bio's going to get updated.
Feral girl. Right, I'm going to go. Right, you know what to find us. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, with more of your loud brown gayness. And of course, it is the month of May. So closer to a renaissance, we will not be here. We'll just be screaming. That's what I'm going to say.
Absolutely. God.
Don't expect to hear us recording after. Give us like 2 weeks after Renaissance to record. I'm just going to say this now because
I
need recovery.
No, we're getting on the mic because I'm going to have thoughts.
It is the month of May, which means we are close. So let's get out of here. Right. We will be back next week, Wednesday. See you soon. Bye, girlies.
Bye. Do you know what's fun?
Go on.
So it's obviously my birthday at the weekend, and I was like saying, so I cannot remember who I've invited. Mm. And I've been through like my normal list, and I think I've gotten everybody, but I must have forgotten somebody. So like, literally, guys, if you're listening and I've invited you to my birthday, just drop me a message, please, because I've got no idea. I absolutely have no idea who's meant to be coming to this thing.
Not this. Not you not you having people showing up and don't know where they need to go. Not
exactly. This. I'm going to have to give out information and I don't... somebody message me.
Yeah. Usually there's a group chat by now, but, you know, it's Tuesday.
I'm going to be standing alone in the VIP.
Ooh, not this.